Good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. It has been good, and I'm sure it will continue to be good to be together and share with you as a congregation. And again, as I had said earlier in the week, blessing to you as a congregation as you invest in eternity. And the ways that you're doing that are very evident here as I observe what takes place. And just know that the kingdom work, you know, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's tiring, and I don't know what all you think, you know, maybe your opinions are different when you hear all of this noise and chatter up front, but we do recognize that these are eternal souls, and the opportunity that you're having to impact those souls is just tremendous, and so I commend you for that. I mentioned last night a little bit about interaction or some time of discussion. And so I contemplated that a bit today. And if you were apprehensive because of that, I would just let you know that later on, we will take some time. And what we'll do is probably cluster you in groups of 5 to 7. And I'll give you a paper handout. It may have to do with one of the three topics, whether it's today and mind of eternity or things I most enjoy, or technology is my enemy. And then your little group or your cluster group will talk about ways that that can be made applicable, ways that you're going to process that internally. And then as I hand that out to you, particularly the brothers, the sisters may choose to or not, but the brothers, if you just have a spokesperson that maybe reports something back related to that, it may be something that we didn't even say, or maybe a more practical area in that specific topic. And it may be related to the sheet of paper that I give you, the topic, whether that's today in mind of eternity or one of the others topics, and just a feedback or testimony, something that when I was communicating that came to your mind that would be practical in that area. So again, we're going to internalize that. Great introduction this evening with our children's meeting. I think we've all enjoyed those different animals and the fox and wisdom. And you heard it, or at least I heard it, because I was sensitive to it in the devotional or the children's time, that wisdom has this dimension of learning and then applying it, or taking that knowledge and putting it into action. And that's really what our theme verse has said throughout the week. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This knowledge, this understanding, knowing what is right, transforming that into, or internalizing that in a way that we live it out. The knowledge, the truth of God lived out in our lives, particularly as it relates to our time. And so the verse was a principle. The first night we looked at a principle. The principle we looked at was stewardship. And again, with the focus of we are held accountable for our time, and because of its value, time is not spent, but rather invested. Changing our thought process toward time from spending time to investing it. So the first night was a principle, the second night was a perspective, and having a proper perspective on time is today in mind of eternity. Not just the here and the now, but living today with regard to or influenced by the fact that there's something beyond the here and now, and we need to be living for that. And then we looked at things I most enjoy, the idea of pleasure seeking or personal time there. And remember that we live in a culture that is driven to seek pleasure and many times seeking it at the wrong places. And as Christians, we can be called or drugged into that and need to be guard against excessive pleasure or pleasure seeking, and really to know what it means to be refreshed and recreation, meaning recreate. And we'll look at that a little bit when we do our review collectively. So then we talked about profitable use of time, or things that steal our time, and technology is my enemy. Last night we spent time on technology a little bit, did not get specific with other aspects of technology, such as the immoral parts of technology, but rather focus more on how it can draw us in. We talked about the concept of unintended consequences. And I think that's, as it relates to time, what is the net consequence of, for example, having a phone, a smartphone with you? What is the impact or the net result, unforeseen results that may come out of that? And I would encourage the group that has this topic for discussion, at least the brothers, give some feedback. What are ways that we can create boundaries here? And maybe you'll have some of that input and we can talk about that. But it is important, and we'll talk about that a little bit before we break into our discussion as well. But we do need to recognize. So tonight we're moving into this idea of we've thought about our time, recognizing its value, the responsibility as stewards that we have, the fact that we need to use our time for an eternal purpose, and yet recognizing that we are often drawn into self-seeking, self-serving in our use of time. And now it's time to change, or time to take inventory. So taking inventory, making edits or making adjustments. I wouldn't like the word adjustments or corrections there, but it doesn't start with an E, so I had to go as close as we could. Taking inventory. So how many of you are involved in some type of inventory process at either a quarter end or year end? Any of you? Taking inventory. So taking inventory is a daunting task depending on the industry or the amount of parts or pieces that are in inventory or how they're stored or measured. It can be very challenging. For our industry, we're storing grains and they're stored in large silos. And to take inventory, we say, is just an educated guess. You look into a silo that could possibly, or a bin that could contain 80, 90,000 bushels of corn, and you're supposed to guess to, you know, or estimate or know how much inventory is there. So taking inventory can be challenging. But I will share a story about the importance of taking inventory. And this is just to help us think about the importance in our own lives, just stopping and taking inventory. Sometimes we get so busy that we don't just stop and analyze, where are we really at? I just keep moving along. But sometimes, whether it's on a set time away, you take a Saturday, and if you've never done this, you really should. Block a time where you can just get quiet, alone with God, and just evaluate aspects, areas of your life. It may be related to time, or it may be another area, but it's amazing when you just take 2 to 5 hours and just block out everything else and focus on it. I know some of you have been involved in probably setting aside time for contemplation and meditation and maybe even seeking God's will that extended beyond that. But if you don't do that now, I would encourage you just to find time to do that 2 to 3 hours, a window where there's no distractions, phones away from you, nothing that can distract you. One of the blessings, and I'll get to my story about the importance of taking inventory, but one of the blessings that I had when I was first ordained, a brother from the church was connected to someone that built those small little cozy cabins or those cabins, and it was a smaller model, but he decided to gift us with one of those little cabins to put out in the woods. And early in my ministry, I used that quite a bit for a study place. And there was just something at that point. I was 29 years old. We had a young family, a lot of children, a lot of bustle. And sometimes it's difficult just to go to the next room and get really quiet and alone. And that cabin out in the woods, there was many a times where, you know, I felt like I met God there just because, not necessarily you can meet him being in the woods or away from it, but rather just because I chose to set time to focus on God and understand his will for me. The importance of taking inventory. A company that we have purchased, in that process, you make a judgment prior to settlement on the value of the inventory. And it's called working capital. It's the things that are in the workings. It's the inventory that you will buy. So you really don't set a price on that. You just agree that you'll purchase it at market value, but you don't worry about it too much, because if you get 5,000 bushels of corn, that's fine. You just get exactly what you want. So in this case, we asked the owner just to be prepared for the settlement day what he expected his inventory to be. And he had some grain storage, adequate amount of grain storage. And he had estimated his grain inventory to be around $1 million of grain inventory. It's, you know, a lot of grain stored, it can be that. And so it was a larger amount. And we came to settlement day. You go and actually walk through and take inventory. And we came to the end and we started tallying up inventory and we came to about $350,000. And he got white and we started, we didn't jump up and down. We just, like, what happened? So we had to go reevaluate. And then after a bit, he came back and he said, well, we haven't been taking inventory. And here, just for years, when it came up to inventory time, although you were supposed to take inventory, they just didn't do that. And there was a computer glitch that had occurred 3 years prior and had not adjusted correctly, a correction went the wrong way. And here he was at settlement day for his business. I felt bad for the individual. It was a huge, you know, the last 3 years he had estimated his business accordingly, et cetera, and found this huge adjustment. So not that important. It's only that aspect for him, of course, it was. But it did remind me the importance of taking inventory. We just sometimes just keep rushing through. And I understand, you know, in production of that property and going, he just didn't either take time or didn't want to take time for inventory. And I think maybe it was some of the last. He didn't want to take time. Maybe he wanted that to be a certain number. I don't know, but whatever the reason, sometimes we don't want to take inventory. I'd just rather keep living life the way I'm living it. It's comfortable this way. I don't want any interruptions. I kind of like doing it my own way. And we don't really desire to take inventory. But if we're serious, if we are serious with our walk with the Lord, we will want to take inventory. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. The importance of doing that. And I encourage us to do that in all aspects of our lives. You hear a sermon that speaks to your heart, take time, reflect on it. Take inventory. We should evaluate closely our lives. And in alignment, we are aligning them with God's word and God's will and God's desire for our lives, and not aligning it to the culture that's around us and even the church culture that can be around us. Go back and just ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? So taking inventory and then making edits. And I think I know we talked about this earlier in the week about we can know what we should change. We can go away from a meeting where we're educated on a fact. And I think we used the way earlier we talked about cows and how to better care for them and make an adjustment to. We could do that. We know all about it. We get all the information, but we don't bother or don't make the effort to make any change. So, again, we did look at this, but we're encouraging us as we go away and as we meet to collectively discuss that we both analyze and apply or adjust. Be willing to adjust, correct, change. Willing to make changes. Are we really open to saying, God, if you show me anything here, I'm willing to change. I will do that. If we do that, be ready, because oftentimes God will have something that he wants to tell us or ask us to do for him. So just a little bit of a personal evaluation. We moved away from technology a little bit quickly last night or didn't quite finish. So I'm just going to go back here and think a few things. When we think about evaluating, what is the tech truth, or what is the truth about technology in our lives? So I'd encourage you to think about that specific area as one area. And for those of us who have technology close to us, one of the things that I shared with a brother that is challenging now, we have, since COVID, for those of us that are involved in maybe some business, we can have to take our work home with us. It's easy. The connections are all established. We can easily do that. We need to create boundaries, and we hear that word, but with technology, it's important to create boundaries. For me, it's important. I can sign on here, you know, if I have a lot of tasks for the day, devotional time can easily be cut short so that early in the morning, no interruptions, I can get a lot of work done from the kitchen table at home. Or after supper. We can be drawn back into it. I don't know what those things are for you, but again, just a personal story. One of the things that I needed to do was to disconnect my email notifications from my phone. And I'm sorry here if I'm talking to some of you that don't have it, but those of us that do, it's just a practical area to think about. For me, emails continue. For some people, they're night owls and they send emails late into the night. Other people are early birds and they're sending. So this flow of emails coming in, and people don't stop for Sunday in some businesses, and that flow coming in. I just decided I don't want to see auto notifications because it gives some indication of what that email is about, and then you're kind of tempted or drawn in to open it, see what's going on, and whether that's when you should be spending time with family or with the Lord, or if it's the Lord's day, any one of those. Not telling you what you need to do, but we just need to honestly evaluate. What is the truth about technology? How much? How am I using it? How is it benefiting me, or is it stealing from me? Again, we talked about last night, how much time am I really spending? And it would do you well, and I think you have accountability filters or networks. Most of those have a feature that will track usage or how much time you spend online. Even within family members, I encourage you not only to look at content or what they're looking at, or what family members, but also look at quantity of time spent. It's good for us. And sometimes we need to go on physical diets, and sometimes we need to go on technology diets as well, where we just say, look, it just seems like we're consuming too much, really. And how many of you have ever done that where you tracked your online usage and look back after a week? A few? Are you a bit surprised? Sometimes we are. It really can be surprising. Like, wow, I wonder who had my phone. But really, nobody had your phone except yourself. I encourage you, if you have those capacities or capabilities with your device, to use them and be just fair analysis. In doing that, whether it's technology or other things with our time or time wasters, is think about what is the proper response. So reduce, remove, replace. You could say technology is a problem, and you could go out and drive over your phone tonight when you leave, and then that would take care of it. That would be a solution. That would be removing. There may be sometimes some things that we need to remove. There's other, which I would encourage us more to think about what we have on. Are there certain apps, certain features that I talked about earlier that we just delete or disable those features? The other things to reduce, monitor, like we just talked about, monitor time. And others, I think this is important too, is replacing. It's not just removing technology, but maybe a commitment to be back and involved in. What about your daily time with the Lord? Where do you have your device during that time? I found it very distracting to have my phone close to me during daily devotions. Depends on where you're at. Activity can start early in the morning. Maybe a truck that's on the road, broken down, or whatever it may be. So think about creating some distance, just evaluating technology. And that idea earlier that we talked about in the week, good, better, best, maybe take what is good or okay and replace it with something that is better. And one aspect of technology that we've all seen is we say technology helps us to communicate, or we can communicate more or further. We talked about social media and all of those things, and really good social interaction has been negatively impacted. You can see that at a restaurant or at your own church youth activity, potentially, that social interaction is being changed by technology. Shouldn't that be replaced? Is it okay to have a no phones policy for part of your youth retreat? I was at a youth retreat recently where that was put in place for a part of the day. and something changed. It was very interesting to observe. We are impacted. That device has such a strong draw that our hand can't leave it alone. And it's interesting, even I noticed people in that event where they weren't, they actually felt something that they didn't feel at all because they're so used to something happening that they start to reach and there's not even a phone in their pocket at all. Try that. You might laugh at them. You might laugh at yourself tomorrow as well. So is it worthwhile or is it a waste? Just a few practical things here, and I don't want to get into time management too much or draw, but we have these areas of our life, and this is urgent and important, is the top section there. You see that? And then we have urgent but not important, and we have not urgent but important, and then we have the urgent and not important. And I think one of the things that we need to look at here is this quadrant two and relationships. That's our relationship with the Lord, relationships with others. Going to visit a family member, going to visit a shut-in, caring for someone down the street. Those aren't things that urge. We can go visit them tonight or we can do that next weekend. It doesn't really matter. There's not a deadline to it. Because of that, those things are often neglected. Quadrant two is a quadrant or an area in our lives where we forget or leave things out. And in recreation there, true recreation, doing things that build us spiritually as well. So just if you think about life, what is not urgent but important? And those things. I think I'll leave it go there. One of the things that I would say about the quadrant two, just in church visitation, that type of thing, if you set a goal and say that this month you plan to do something, whether you make that, you will find time to do it. If it's my month for some activity, I can do that. But if I didn't have that structure, the time lapse between those visits will get longer and longer. So if you have a structured visitation program within a leadership team or a church family, it happens. You don't have the structure in place, it'll just get pushed down the road. And I think we've all been guilty of that. So evaluating my time. What is positive? What is profitable? As we evaluate our time, we need to look seriously at what is positive and what is profitable. Just a question to ask over and over again. What I'm doing, is it positive? Is it profitable? You can open your Bibles now to Matthew 16. We started out the week and talked about stewardship. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about lordship here towards the end of my presentation before we go into our group discussion. Thinking just about our life and its real purpose and meaning. And it's out of this purpose and meaning and desire to serve the Lord that we're truly transformed into not just making time to do good, but to serve the Lord and to advance His kingdom. We're not just creating time so we can check the box that we do it. It's for a purpose. It's for a reason. Matthew 16, and I'll read verses 21 through 28. Jesus here in verse 21 is talking about His purpose and a big part of His ministry, why He came to serve others and to provide salvation. So reading here Matthew 16, 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So we see here in verse 21, Jesus is talking about his ministry, the fact that he's going to suffer and die. And then Peter rebukes and said, Lord, you don't need to go through that. You don't have, why that? And he's arguing or speaking against this plan that Jesus is outlining. And then Jesus' response to him was very strong, and we know that response. But there's something interesting here, and I want us to catch that. Jesus is saying, I'm going to suffer. There's this path in life that I'm willing to take. It's the path that's called to surrender, sacrifice to the Father's will. He was surrendering to his Father's will. And as he surrendered to his Father's will, and Peter rebuked him, Jesus said, wait a second. That's of the devil. You're saying, don't go the hard path. Don't surrender. Don't sacrifice. And listen what Jesus says, the second part we don't often catch. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You're not thinking wisely. You're not thinking as God sees it. You're not seeing the big picture. You're thinking fleshly or selfish, self-serving. Because if we look at the next verses, that comes out clear. Jesus says, if you're going to come after me, just like I'm about to go to the cross, you're going to need to take your life and surrender it too. That's clear. That's what it's stating here. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Does that mean that we're all carrying a cross, literally? No. It means that we're going to need to surrender and sacrifice our lives to him if we're going to be called a child of his. That's very clear. Because if you're going to say then in verse 25, no, I'm not going to go that path. I'm not going to take that path. I'm going to save my life. I'm going to save it. I'm going to do it my way. You're going to actually lose out in the end. But, verse 25b, if you're willing to lose or surrender your life, everything I have, all, Lord, is yours. I surrender it to you for your use, for your purpose, for your kingdom, how you would want me to live my days, where you would want me to serve, who you want me to minister to, all of those things, as we surrender it to him, we're going to find it. We might say we lose our life, or we're not getting to do what we want to do with our time. But we surrender it to him and say, Lord, what would you have me do with my time? You're going to find life, true life, life eternal. But you're also going to find fulfillment in life that won't be found anywhere else. There's nowhere else will you find as much fulfillment as being in God's will. Yes, there can be short pleasure, there can be short excitement in other aspects of life. But when we say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I remember various moments in my life where it really wasn't a path that I wanted to take. And it came to that place and you just simply say, Lord, that's what you want. I'm willing to do it. It's not the way I really want to go here. I would rather avoid it. I remember it in church leadership. But in a strange way, I also remember it when opportunity where I just wasn't sure I really wanted to move forward, and I asked the Lord to show us a clear sign for a change or a growth in the business. And I was like, Lord, am I really supposed to be doing this? Is this right? And if it is, here's the fleece. Here's what I'd like to see if you show me. And I remember when that became so very clear, like almost like, oh, I was thought that wouldn't be able to happen. Like that shouldn't have happened that way. And I'm really not ready for this, but Lord, if that's what you're calling us to, then we're really willing to take that step. So again, in that, as we look back, the Lord calls us, he leads, he directs, he guides, and he wants to guide and direct our lives. We just need to come to that place of surrender, and then he'll show us the way. And as we surrender and serve in that capacity, then we find that there's joy and peace in serving him. And the last phrase there, what a profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? You hold it back, you pull it back to yourself, and you lose your soul. It's not worth it. And he goes on and talks about that in verses 27 and 28. If we say he is Lord of our life, and we'll say that quickly, we'll all say he is Lord of our life, but we don't surrender our time to God's will and purpose, then is he really Lord? My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him who died for me, my Savior and my God. If we say he is Lord of our lives, then that means our time is surrendered to God's will and purpose. I might have got into a little bit of a sermon there, and we don't have a lot of time, and we'll still take a little bit of time here at the end. And I'm passing these out, and this bench and that bench, if you just want to turn around and discuss, you'll discuss the things I most enjoyed, things about recreation. And why don't we split this in half here, this bench, if you want to, with these brothers right here, and I'll give the last three of you in this bench and the three behind you there can discuss. So the three of you, and if you want to just take that subject and discuss it, something about that we could have touched on, and maybe I'll see how many we have here, there. And why don't you three just work together, and you want to come front and join them, and then this group here, and you can join in today in mind of eternity. And I'll give you another one for you to look at here. There. And your group is right here. One, two, this group right here, and then at the end. They're with here, right here. These guys, six right here, and those five, and then you four right here. And I'll pass this down. Use the way you all have. And do you want another one for your group? All right, and sisters, this I'll let you, just as a bench, you can pass this down through this bench. And this bench. And I think I have one of these left too. So you can discuss it. Yeah, you can make a little bit of noise as you discuss it. It's okay. Really what I'm looking, if yours is today in mind of eternity, just answer one of those questions or something related to eternity. Things I most enjoy, pick one of those toxins and talk about them, or anything else that spoke to you. And I am perfectly fine if you come back about recreation and say, you know, the weakness here isn't too much recreation, we're working too many hours, that type of thing. Profitable use of time, technology is my enemy, especially the second one there. What are some ways to guard against wasted time, or some ways that you've worked on that? So encourage you to have discussion, and we'll do that for about 5 minutes, and then we'll have a little bit of wrap-up. So if you can pick a spokesperson that just wants to make a comment or two, maybe you have to vote on that first. And sisters, I don't want you to feel like you need to make comments. You can just, if there's something else that stood out to you, you may say it, but don't feel obligated at all. So we're just going to go through them in the order that we discussed them. Today in Mind of Eternity, Things I Most Enjoy, Technology is My Enemy, in that sequence. So if you had that, if there's something else related to stewardship or something otherwise that stood out to you about investing time that ties to it, certainly you're fine. So today in Mind of Eternity, did one or two of the groups of brothers have that one? At least one group? Today in Mind of Eternity. Anything that you discussed in your group or a practical?
Well, we did. And two of us, one or two of us are farmers, but two of us that are farmers talking about sometimes evenings, you know, you really need to go out and do something.
Good. Yep. Good.
So it's one way we can ask the question, can we do both? Maybe sometimes. We don't really want that technology.
No, that's fine. Yeah. No, that's good. There's actually a truth there that I like to about when we're about other activities, we still can have any focus on eternity or think about things that eternally matter. Just a quick personal story. Our daughter lives 6 hours away. I learned that you can drive and pray very well. And we've learned, I don't enjoy traveling in lots of traffic. Route 81 is just loaded with traffic. So 1 a.m. is a really great time to leave for Virginia to go see our daughter. And I can enjoy that time of day, and my family enjoys to sleep during that time of day. And it's just been a time where I've spent hours in prayer, just driving and meditating. So very good. We can be about our work, but still have it focused on something eternal. Anything else from your group discussion there? Okay. Sisters, I give you an opportunity if you want to, but don't feel obligated. Anything about today in mind of eternity? All right. Things I most enjoy then next. Brothers, who had that? Talking about recreation. Things I most enjoy. Is that? You had that one? Yeah. And did you have that as well? Okay, any comments? No, oh, that's good.
In two contexts, if it's sin, obviously there's consequences. Mm-hmm. If it's just spent only for leisure or pleasure, we've got any sort of goals,
yeah, because we're using that time and there's something to pay for later because of that. Anything else back here?
We talk about this and that, but perhaps today is something that we want to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Good.
We were challenged on our phone time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been amazed at the hour you can get on the phone even in a day's time.
Mm-hmm.
Stimulation, some of that. We talked a little bit about recreation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Two things you got right. One is the fish sandwich stand is the best stand at Green Dragon. The second thing is that we can have a lot of enjoyable time as family together with not spending that much money. You know, sometimes we think, oh, it needs to be extravagant, but just to set that time, do a fun activity is so important. Last but not least, technology is my enemy. Anything else about that? Who had that one? Anything from your group about technology? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Good. Very good. Do you know about, you learn by, this is getting off on the side, a very separate thing. I really enjoy, you know what spatial orientation is? Is where you learn where something is just by where it's located on a page. And that's one blessing you have in your Bibles. For example, you know, if you're in your Word, like I know that when I go to Romans 12, it's going to be on the left side. Or I'm going to go to Colossians 3, it's bottom left in my Bible. I know that. So using a Bible and consistently using and reading it, you both learn the text, but you learn that spatial orientation, which is also beneficial, especially in presentation and that type of thing. So reading from God's Word, there's something about actually reading, and that goes too with reading books. So I know there's a lot more, and sisters, I didn't give you a lot of time. Anything else that somebody has that they want to share before we come to a close? So glad it was shared that the one thing they want to take home is perhaps today. And so I'm giving you an opportunity to take that home. I just made a little thing. It says, perhaps today, and it says our theme verse. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You can pass it back through, whether you put it on a mirror or on the refrigerator with a magnet. split this up a little bit, or post it. Just keep it inside your Bible cover. Encourage you to just take that and ask the Lord what He would have you do today.